I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. The speech by the president, State of the Union, is also State of the World, and I very much welcome Cliff May, the president and founder of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, whose remarks last week were accurate, but we need to add two addendum since Cliff's remarks. The first addendum is that right now, counting votes in Moscow, it appears that Vladimir Putin is reelected for his fifth term. The number I saw was 87.5% of the population that voted chose Mr. Putin. He is popular in the polls. He's popular in the vote. However, Cliff, a very good evening to you. Mr. Biden addressed the matter of Ukraine and Russia and Putin at the beginning of his remarks. You do observe, however, that as of now, to my knowledge, we have not heard the president tell us what the American mission is, what the concern is that involves the American people with this battle in Ukraine. Now that Mr. Putin has been reelected for a fifth term, extending his sovereignty at least until 2030, is it appropriate for the president to address this unusual fact that he's not a dictator, he's a president, but he's a president who cannot be defeated? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Yes, it's the vote count, according to the Russian government, was under 90%. So that's a real nail biter. Look, Putin is very much a dictator. Anybody who opposes him ends up dead or in prison or marginalized. It's very disappointing to somebody like me who is following Russian and Soviet affairs for more than a half a century to see that at this point, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, there's not even a semblance of democratic government in that country. As for Biden talking about the U.S. interests in Ukraine, yeah, the speech he should give, speeches really, because repetition is important, he should have been giving them for the past 2 years to make clear why it would be, from an American point of view, a very bad thing if Putin were to succeed in conquering Ukraine and making it part of the restored Russian Empire, which is what he wants to do. It wouldn't end there. I recently met with the ambassadors from Estonia, from Latvia, from Lithuania. They all feel very strongly that if Putin succeeds in Ukraine, his attention will turn to them, as well as Moldova, which is really low-hanging fruit. In other words, but Moldova is not a NATO country. Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania are. If we don't want a war between NATO and Russia, Putin must not succeed in Ukraine.
The president was addressing Congress for the State of the Union. That was the moment to make his case, did he, about additional monies and arms for Ukraine?
You know, he started to. He led with Ukraine and Russia, and he started to make a few good points. And then he immediately, or almost immediately, but the next subject he raised was Trump, which he said, who he said, implied, maybe actually said, is just as bad as Putin and represents the greatest threat to the United States since the Civil War. This trivializes what's going on right now in Ukraine. Just trivializes the most important war in Europe since World War II by comparing it to his political struggle with the former president. And then he was, I would say, frivolous in his comments, really, on the war that Israel is fighting against Hamas and its patron in Tehran, that regime. He had, as far as China, the most important and powerful communist regime in history, he said, well, we don't want a serious conflict. We just want competition. I'm sure Xi Jinping was very encouraged to hear that. I'm sure this is a big concern for him. About Iran, he had one sentence to say, and absolutely nothing to say about the fact that Iran is moving very aggressively towards a nuclear weapons capability. He could have 13 nuclear weapons within the next 5 months, according to the best experts on this. And we're doing nothing about it. In fact, just the contrary, President Biden just allowed $10 billion to go to the regime in Tehran that they can use for nuclear weapons development, missile development as well. They want an intercontinental ballistic missile. Intercontinental means it could reach the United States, not just Israel. And also they can use to support the Houthis who are shutting down international commerce on the high seas, Hamas, Hezbollah, Shia militias in Iraq and Iran that have attacked American forces more than 100 times. This is not a serious or even coherent foreign policy.
I want to understand how this all fits together, at least it might. Is this electioneering year and therefore the follow through on Ukraine and Russia must wait till after the election? Or, and then is this important to the president? Losing Ukraine, would that be important to him? Because we're told by his director of the Central Intelligence Agency that without arms and support from the U.S., Russia's going to gobble up territory. Is that important to the president?
It certainly ought to be. I think he would say, if you were on this program, look, if we can't support Ukraine properly, that's not my fault. I tried. It's the fault of the Republicans. Blame them, not me. I do think his highest priority right now is his own prospects in this election. That's why he has certainly changed his tone in regard to Israel and Hamas. I think he's trying to placate both, Hamasniks in Dearborn, Michigan, and the far left of the Democratic Party that doesn't particularly care for Israel and doesn't want to see Israel prevail over Hamas. I think the problem with that is that it'll be clear to a lot of people that he is prioritizing his own interests over those of over national interests. And that's not a good look. That's not going to help with independent and swing voters. But the way his campaign is designed right now, it's not meant to appeal to swing voters, to independent voters who are a large majority. It's meant to bring out the base. It's a base election. People like pollster Mark Penn have pointed this out very, very clearly. And if it's a base election, you have to you do what you can and what you need to do to hold that base and make sure they're energized and come out to the polls. But it's not a profile on courage.
You mentioned Hamas and the battles between Hamas and Israel, between Hezbollah and Israel. Since the State of the Union message and since you posted your column, Charles Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, has made a speech asking for new elections, recommending new elections, ordering new elections. There are a lot of choices here. and to oust Mr. Netanyahu, the elected prime minister. The president has not repeated those words, but he's endorsed them. Again, is this electioneering or is this something profound that's going to last through the election cycle, challenging the democracy of Israel?
I think it is electioneering. I think President Biden not only endorsed it, my suspicion is that he persuaded Charles Schumer to go ahead and make a speech like that because he'll be supportive of him. It's a way of kind of splitting the baby in that Schumer is saying, you know, it's not that we're not supporting the Israelis, but it's that Netanyahu, we don't support him, right? And a lot of Democrats don't, a lot of people don't, a lot of Israelis don't. But the fact of the matter is, Netanyahu is not making all the decisions. He's part of a unity government, a war council, and that includes the opposition figure, Benny Gantz, among others. And they're making decisions collectively, and they all agree on what they need to do. And what they need to do is decisively defeat Hamas. And Schumer's speech ended up, I think, doing two things that he shouldn't have wanted to do. One is it made people like Benny Gantz say, this is inappropriate for you to be telling a democracy who it should vote for, when should have elections. You wouldn't say this to France or Spain or Germany. Why do you say it to us? We have elections. Israel has more elections than almost anybody. And so, and it also has probably strengthened Bibi Netanyahu rather than weakened him, because I think Israelis were offended that an American politician, and a rather senior one, is instructing them while they are in the middle of a war, while they have hostages being held and tortured, while, by the way, American hostages are staying. Why not, if you're going to be tough with an American ally, how about Qatar, which was designated by Biden as a major non-NATO ally, which hosts Hamas leaders? Maybe get tough on them, say, you tell those leaders that they're going to end up in prison as accomplices to abduction, torture, mass murder, and rape, unless they take a very clear stand that hostages should be released, and that, by the way, Hamas should not impede the evacuation of innocent civilians from Rafah when the time comes for the Israelis to go after Hamas in its last stronghold.
So what we're looking at is a campaign speech and not the Biden foreign policy. We just have a few seconds. Is that a fair summary, Cliff?
In a fair summary, that's exactly what it was. It was not a State of the Union. He wasn't looking at the state of the world. He wasn't explaining our national security and national interest concerns. It was kicking off his campaign.
Cliff May is the president and founder of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.